Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Paige Bambushi Roethlisberger.
Hi guys, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour film and TV edition. How are you, Mom? What's up?
Wonderful, sweetie. What's up? It's the beautiful weather. Enjoying every day, enjoying all the activities, enjoying everything, sweetie. What's up with you?
Well, good. I'm enjoying the hot weather. I like it. It's going to be hot for 8-10 months. So yeah, I'm loving it. Okay. I can't complain.
Let's get into
what we are sipping on today. And what are we sipping on? Okay. We're sipping on some...
Turn the bottle around so I can see what we're sipping on.
Some St. Cloud bourbon. And this is for people...
bourbon. Guys, the wonderful thing about bourbon, you won't have a headache in the morning.
Okay. And this is Black owned. It is from Ray Walker. And this is if you want to indulge. This is to treat yourself now.
Okay. Okay. Health, wealth, and prosperity. Long life and prosperity. Health, wealth, and happiness. Okay. Salud.
Salud. Okay. Woo. That is definitely bourbon. Yeah. Okay. Let's get into our movie of the week, which is Doctor Strange and the Multiverse. And so Doctor Strange is, he casts some type of very taboo or forbidden spell that opens the door to the multiverse, which shows alternate versions of even Doctor Strange. Some of them not the best Doctor Strange. The multiverse is a huge threat to humanity. And this is kind of how the story flows. And obviously WandaVision plays a huge role in this multiverse.
Yes, so she does.
And what are your thoughts? Fabulous.
Wanda is fabulous. What's her name? Elizabeth Olsen?
Elizabeth Olsen, yes.
Oh, she is fabulous. Well, she was wonderful in Wanda too, but she is just smoking. She's, you know, she's kind of a villain. She's really very...
The Scarlet Witch. Fabulous. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What's her name? Sparkle Witch?
Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch, yeah, yeah. I call her Wanda going wild. Oh, she is just so... good. She is very aggressive. I mean, she is kicking ass and taking numbers. She is good. The only way Benedict Cumberbatch, mm-hmm. who is the Doctor Strange, mm-hmm. I call him the wizard because he's a wizard. Mm-hmm. The only way anyone can deal with her is would be Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. And he's the one who can deal with her. And he has to go into the dark, what is it, the dark hole, and he has to actually resurrect his corpse in order to deal with her. He has to go to that alternate, one of those alternate universes, mm-hmm. to deal and resurrect his corpse to deal with the Scarlet Witch, who is Wanda going wild. And it is so good. It is dynamic. Oh, by the way, guys, I have got to mention this. Eric Cumberbatch, which I'm sure you...
Benedict.
Why do I... you know, I keep thinking his name is Eric. Okay. Hey! Benedict Cumberbatch. He is so handsome in this movie. He has these streaks, white streaks. Mm-hmm. I guess it's supposed to be gray, but they look really white. They look platinum streaks, mm-hmm. on both sides of his, like in his temples, mm-hmm. and they seem to be going straight back. They're not vertical, they're just sort of horizontal, mm-hmm. and he has a thick head of black hair, and he is, I don't know if it's Armani or what, who designed his suit. He is fitted to Tommy Ford or whoever. Boy, he is clean as the Board of Health. And he looks so sexy and so attractive. I couldn't believe that he's the same man I saw in that. What was that, daughter? What was that thing about the dog? Power of the dog. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it was the same person who was in Power of the Dog. He is smoking hot in this movie. I mean, he looks a little busted when as a corpse, you know, but apart from that, oh my goodness, he is so handsome. He is just so striking. Oh, he plays the hell out of his part. It is really good. It is a real fun ride, guys. It is a fun ride.
So I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it as much as you, Ma, but I thought it had really, you know, good aspects to it. So if you haven't watched WandaVision or Loki, you know, you'll be a little confused. It was entertaining, but I think my issue with it was is that if it was a little bit shorter, I think that the plot wasn't as big as it should have been. I felt that it was a very simple plot, and I felt like the conclusion, you know, was pretty simple. And I think that it could have been more complex. I would have probably liked that. And I also would like to see more of crossover or a better explanation as to why there's a multiverse, as to what the freak is going on with Wanda. Although I know what happened to Wanda. I know that she suffered.
You know all Wanda's problems and this and that, but you know the main thing wrong with Wanda? Mm-hmm. Wanda enjoyed that fake life she had in that other universe with Vision and children.
And
Wanda,
like you said,
fell in love with that.
No Vision. That was a big problem.
That there was no Vision, because they was together. It was Wanda and Vision. They were together. So that was a huge piece that was missing. And she was heartbroken. Because she embraced that life, although, you know, although it was a, you know, to a great extent of a fictitious life.
Well, there was a lot of, you know, terrible things that happened to Wanda if we would go back to just like her, you know, with her twin.
Her sibling. You know,
just obviously Vision. But, you know, like I said, to me, if they would do more of a standalone approach with crossover, in which we explain things to people who haven't seen those movies, I think you would have a better movie because I like Spider-Man a lot.
I think that people would appreciate it more. Yeah. I think people do get lost sometimes as to, you know, the connection and the references and so forth. I do think that happens too, because even with Chiwetel, you know, I was saying, well, Chiwetel, where's he coming from? But you would need to know about the pre-existing relationship that he had with Dr. Strange to even really fully understand the encounter.
And appreciate it.
To really know what was going on with that. So, but all.
So what do you give it, man?
All those things notwithstanding, I enjoyed it, and I'm going to give it, I'm landing around 7, I think.
7 premium? Okay.
I think I'm going with a 7 premium, yeah.
I'm a little bit below you, not that far, because I thought it was entertaining. I'm gonna stay in a premium, and I'm gonna go a 6.5.
Okay.
So let's talk about a series that had its finale. It's not a series finale, a season finale. And I thought it was a triumph. The Winning Time, the rise of the Lakers dynasty, and it was just excellent to me from the acting. I thought I really felt that those characters really embodied. The athletes, the guy that played Magic, Quincy Isaiah, I thought he was excellent. I thought John C. Reilly was really good playing Dr. Jerry Buss. I liked Jason Clarke as Jerry West. I liked Solomon Hughes as Kareem. I liked Adrian Brody as Pat Riley, and Wood Harris as Spencer Hayward. The good acting, and you know, I think that even though there was a couple of complaints from the real life athletes, I thought that these people represented them well, and it made me respect them, you know, who I didn't know about, like Jerry West. It made me respect them more, made me feel like he was a very passionate man, made me feel like, you know, he felt that it was always in how I act. I thought he was passionate.
Me too. And it made him more endearing.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. You know what? You know what I want to say? All of them, to me, they played so, all of the ones that you mentioned played so good. Oh man, hats off to, you know, props to the actor playing
Jerry Buss.
Oh, John C. Reilly. John C. Reilly is very popular.
He blew that up. He blew that spot up. I mean, he did his thing. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Oh, my goodness. And the young brother playing Magic. Oh, he did his thing. From the smile to the charm to the skills on the court. Oh, he captured the essence of Magic wonderfully. I loved it. And Kareem.
Solomon Hughes.
Oh, my goodness. He was just majestic mm-hmm. in his role. He was understated and he was all that. When he walked in the room, it was Kareem. You know,
felt his presence.
He was a force.
And Adrian, I love that.
Adrian Brody, he did a sneaky thing. He came in and mm-hmm. you looked at him and you said, oh boy. And then the next week you looked at him and you said,
maybe.
And the next week you looked at him and you said, And then the next week you looked at him and you said, oh,
Pat Riley. Yes. Yeah, oh, he started to feel like Pat Riley.
He was the caterpillar on into the butterfly.
And see, for me, Ma, I know Pat Riley from the Knicks. I don't know him from the Lakers. And,
well, I knew him from the Lakers, obviously. Yeah. Pat Riley was always the best groom and the best dress. First was Pat Riley, then was Chuck Daly. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Pat Riley was clean as the Board of Health anytime he walked on the court. And that's real. That's real Pat Riley.
We also want to give a shout out to Cookie, the actress. Tamara Tamahili did her thing.
She played it with class and style.
Of course, Sally Field did a good job playing Mama Buss and who else? What's her name? Jenny Buss. She did a really good job. I thought the women represented themselves well. Obviously, you know, it was a male dominated cast, but it was just really 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 good.
And don't forget Wood. Did we get props to Wood?
Oh, we didn't get props. I thought I mentioned Wood. No, we didn't mention Wood.
Wood did his thing too. Flawed character though he, you know, portrayed, he did his thing.
Gabby Hoffman that played Claire. I don't know what her position was, but she, you know, was running things at, like, on the operational level. And I thought she did a really good job.
She was excellent too, though they were, you know, relatively minor characters. That, you know, just an excellent cast all the way around. But the people who were breathtaking was Jerry Buss, Magic, Kareem, excellent.
Okay, so what do you give the first season, Ma?
I give the first season a top shelf. I'm going with 8.5, top shelf.
I'm going to give it a top shelf 9.
Oh, okay. You liked it even better than me, apparently.
All right, so let's move on to Blood Sisters, which we think is a limited series. At least they say it's a limited series. Who knows? It's Netflix's first ever Nigerian original series, and it's a 4-part thriller, and it's starring Kate Henshaw, Ramsey Nouya, Tope Tidila, and Wole Oho. So instead of the wedding day being the happiest day of the lead character's life, Sarah, it turned out to be a nightmare. She's marrying an abusive, evil man named Kola from a rich family. And on the day of the wedding, she calls everything off, or seemingly calls everything off, and things just kind of spiral out of control from there. And this is filmed in Nigeria, which I think is really cool. So what are your thoughts on Blood Sisters?
Okay, now she did not call things off. Things just evolved.
Ostensibly.
Okay, called things off. Okay, good point. Good. Okay, you qualified it. Good point. Lots of mystery. Just lots of splendor and ostentatiousness and beautiful costumes, beautiful scenery, beautiful venue, a lot going on in the very beginning, and then it just moves on, and then you go to the countryside and the villages, and you see just every aspect, the full spectrum of, you know, the culture, and it's just really wonderful. I enjoyed it very, very much, and I'm going to continue to enjoy it. You know, I don't know how far the series is going
to
go.
No, I don't know. It's supposed to be, it's built as a limited series, Mom.
Okay. Well, so however far the series goes, I'm going to follow it all the way
through. No, I mean, it was built as that was it.
Oh, well, okay. Well, whatever.
But you know, we'll see.
Well, yeah. Well, that's it. That's my point, you know, and I have enjoyed it very much. I enjoy what they showed us, okay. What has been viewed up to date, you know, what has been viewed to date. And I guess this is the end of the series. I'm not sure. Well, I enjoyed
it. Ma, what did you like about it? Like the costumes? I know you like the.
Didn't I mention that?
Okay, maybe you did. But
I loved how splendid everything was, from the beautiful and ostentatiousness of all of it, the clothing, the venue,
okay,
and everything, all the way to the villages where the people were in traditional attire. And so on and so forth. You know, I love.
Do you think it was very okay? So for me, I enjoyed it, but I thought the plot was really good. I don't think the acting lived up to the plot, and that's probably typical with a lot of soap operas. I think that's why we enjoy them.
Sure,
but
the things that make us embrace soap operas, you know, it had all the ratchetness and the gaudiness, and all of the things that sort of make us enjoy soap operas,
and everything that was just like extreme, like there's no in between with whatever they're doing, like the villain is just no redeeming qualities with the villain. And then, we have like the ingenue who you feel sorry for the ingenue, but the ingenue is flawed in this one. Obviously, Sarah, she's flawed. And then Cola, he has a huge presence in the film, maybe, not necessarily a big role, but a huge presence. And his evilness is just extreme. And, I thought all of that, I appreciated all of that, and I appreciated it for what it was supposed to be. And acting, like I said, was not what it was supposed to be, but it did what it was supposed to do. So I'm going to give Blood Sisters, I'm going to give it a premium 7. What do you give it?
I'm going to give it an 8.
A top shelf?
I'm going to give it a top shelf. I'm giving it a top shelf. I thought it was really good. And I am just sort of making allowances for cultural differences and things that we see as exaggerations or over the top, having to do with cultural translations and interpretations. And I think that, I think it was very good. I thought the acting was not necessarily top shelf. I thought the script was top shelf. I thought the script had enough twists and turns to keep you going in all sorts of directions that you would not necessarily have predicted. I thought there was things going on with everybody here, from the mother of the groom to the sibling, to sibling rivalry, to all sorts of betrayals, all sorts of greed, unimaginable greed, and on and on and on and on. I think the script was really good. I thought the script was really good.
Okay.
The script in this case, this is an unusual case where the script I thought was actually better than the acting. Okay. Got it, sweetie. Okay.
Okay. So let's move on to Candy, which is on Hulu, and it stars Jessica Biel as Candy Montgomery, a Texas housewife in 1980 who represented like the perfect, quote unquote, mom housewife, you know, making every play date, going to every school event, cooking, cleaning, that type of thing at home. And then we see the actress Melanie Lynskey, who is the character Betty Gore. And now this is based on a true story. This is a true story, you know. But anyway,
it's a small town called Wiley, Texas.
Wiley, Texas, which we are not far from.
Right, in Collin County, in our county.
So Betty Gore, yeah.
No. Well, a county near us.
A county near us. Betty Gore is a mom struggling and feeling overwhelmed, and her husband travels a lot for work. So there's a lot of little different things that go on in there. We know what happens. But for me, I think that Jessica Biel does a good job playing Candy. She has a terrible wig.
Excellent. Oh, the worst hairdo in the world.
Yeah.
But her acting is really good. I think this is a hellified good look for Jessica Biel. Mm-hmm. This is a good look for Jessica Biel.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You may have seen more episodes than me. But we haven't seen the finale yet because it hasn't aired at the time of this recording. But I think it's interesting. It's better than I thought it was going to be. I would highly recommend it. Go ahead, Ma.
You will be enwrapped. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It is very, very interesting. You cannot believe how something started out so relatively innocent and should have gone a very different way.
Now you can say what it is.
But when you cannot believe how what was supposed to be, if there's such a thing as a casual or innocuous affair, marital affair, if there's such a thing, that's what this started out as and was supposed to be and was supposed to end. You know, there was a sort of predicted schedule for them to end it.
Well, see,
and it didn't happen that way.
Well, see, the thing is, I haven't seen it to that part, so that's kind of like weird.
Well,
I need to see that part.
Well, you know, that's okay because that's not what. That's just what she said. That's never what happened anyway.
Okay. So, well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I definitely think it's really interesting and it's
obviously unbelievable,
just sad, unbelievable tragedy.
But guys, remember, this is a real story. This really did go down. That's right. So all I can say is sit back, get your popcorn, your refreshment, your beverage, whatever you like to do. And relax and watch it. It is good.
Okay. So let's move on to Better Call Saul, which we have been watching for a few years now. I thought the last episode was really fun. And there was a couple of little different things that happened in here.
This is not nice to say, but I was glad to see Saul get knocked on his behind. I was glad to see him because, in my opinion, I know Howard wasn't so nice to Saul's brother, but Saul is going too far. He needs to let it go. I mean, don't you think he needs to just sort of stop?
I don't even remember. You know, I think the problem is, and I think this is well written and I think it's excellent, is I don't remember Howard being that bad to his brother. Was he?
Well, it wasn't, but that's how Saul took it. But that was Saul all along being hypersensitive about, you know, the way they were treating his brother, when in fact his brother was a wild card and no longer reliable to practice it within the firm. And you know, and but you know, oh, wait a minute, it's how we treated the brother in conjunction with how we treated Saul. Because remember, Saul got his...
Well, it's more like Saul, I think, because he kind of looked down at Saul.
It's all of it. But but I think you are right that it's more really how we treated him. Because guess what? The brother was a little bit snobbish against Saul, too.
Yeah.
You know, the brother just didn't have the mental wherewithal, you know, to you know, do anything about it. But the brother also was very condescending towards Saul, because the brother went to Ivy League.
Well, I know.
For a degree, but Saul went to like a matchbook, you know, kind of law school and all this kind of stuff, you know. And
well,
they did not give him the respect.
Well, you know? What I got you with that being said in this episode,
it's a long going feud.
I feel as though Jimmy started it. Saul, Jimmy started it.
Jimmy started in the sense that he responded. They treated him shabbily, and he responded in a sort of resentful way, and
yes,
he became vindictive. So in this episode,
Howard challenges Jimmy to a boxing match, and Jimmy, to me, Saul got what he deserved.
Saul got what he deserved because he needs to let it go. He needs to be
at this point. Yeah,
he needs to be but not Kim, underhanded.
But Kim is the one who is kind of like, you know, pushing it forward.
Kim is encouraging Saul in all kind of, you know, ratchet behavior.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, and underhanded, you know, and criminal. And some of it, you know, borderline criminal behavior. Yeah, Kim is totally, you know, pushing this more so than, remember Saul looked over at Kim and he said, I didn't know you were like this. I didn't know who I'm married to. Remember?
I remember. Obviously Gus, he was a big focus of this episode, and nothing technically happened in this episode except we see that he is paranoid, he is tripping, he's distracted, he can't even take orders at Los Hermanos because he is wondering like where's Lala, where's he at? You know, and I'm wondering who the couple is that's staying at his home. I want to know who those people are, because we don't know who they are. They just kind of, you know, just go with the wind. But I think it's really interesting, like Gus's character, because he's so put together. He, you know, his plan, he's organized, and he's never distracted. He's always
He's OCD and he's cold. He's OCD and he's very cold. He's very uncaring. Do you see Gus caring about anything?
He cared about his lover. He cared about his, they didn't say it, but we all knew.
You mean they didn't really show it?
They didn't show it, but we kind of saw, and that just changed everything. That's what he cared about. And that's how, and I think what that is, Ma, is that is what it is when you are a quote unquote, well, he is a businessman, but in the game, in that type of game, when it's life or death, that's how you're supposed to be.
That's it. Well, that's how he is.
But now he's all shook up. He doesn't know.
Because Lalo was supposed to be dead.
Right. But he knows Lalo's not dead.
But he knows that Lalo is gunning for
him. And how about Lalo in Germany and trying to find evidence that Gus is working against the cartel?
I didn't see the connectedness that put Lalo in Germany. That's just the next thing you know, Lalo was in Germany.
He's after Gus and he's trying to find
after Gus. But I'm saying I didn't see how he got into Germany.
Well, they didn't show that. They didn't show that.
They just showed him. Next thing you know, he's in Germany and he's talking to the widow. Yeah,
of the engineer, right?
Of the engineer who was putting together Lalo's super duper drug spot.
Yeah, that super like lab.
That. Yeah, yeah, right. You know. So, but now the actor playing Lalo. Now, hey. you know, you got to give him props.
Yeah.
Now, he's a horrible character, as many of them are, you know, in this whole franchise.
But he's more likable than the guy in Ozark. Remember the one that was in Ozark, Javi?
Which one?
Javi.
Oh, Javi was terrible.
Yeah,
he was terrible. Well, Lalo has, we know Lalo has family allegiance that Javi didn't have. You know, Javi was didn't care whoever throat he cut.
That's true. Yeah, you know, you're right.
But we know Lalo, you know, he's got his family, uncle, and all this and that, you know, whatever. So we know that about Lalo already. Really good. Just very engaging. Very engaging. And you will enjoy it. You know, sit down, like I said, with your, you know, nice glass of Chablis or whatever you want to do, or your nice glass of water or whatever you have, or your good shot of bourbon or your tequila or your, you know, you know, whatever, or your, you know, your wine, or, you know, guess what? It's sit down with a very self-indulgent, a sexy doughboy donut, you know, and put your feet up.
Even if you're not in Texas,
there you go. That's right. You know, so you know,
yeah, hilarious story
and enjoy.
Oh, that's my gosh, I can't. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's do another segment, which is called Refund Matinee or Full Price. So, Ma, we have a few here. So, you know, you don't have to spend too much time on something if you are, you know, against it. Okay. So, according to TMZ, Ciara and Russell Wilson, and not really according to them, but this is what they're saying. Ciara and Russell Wilson have been slammed for adopting a new puppy by PETA, saying they should have gotten a pup from the shelter and not a purebred breeder, which, you know, hurts the chances of other dogs being adopted from shelters. So, Mom, a refund, matinee, or full price for a reality show in which we watch the Wilson family adopt a cute little puppy from the shelter?
Huh?
Oh, okay. So PETA is saying. Let me finish my. PETA is saying,
well,
they're not happy.
Why don't you let me repeat it back to you to see if I'm getting what you're saying?
I just want to say PETA is not happy with what Russ and Sierra.
I got it.
And they're saying in order to make it right, they need to adopt a puppy.
That would be lovely. That would be lovely if they did. That would be lovely. But it's nothing wrong with them. I mean, I got my dog from a private breeder, and I've gotten my dogs from, you know, from shelters as well.
So refund, matinee, or full price to see that, Ma?
Matinee. I'll give it a matinee. It would be lovely, nice to see, but I don't think it's all that, you know, either way.
I'm in agreement with you on this matinee because I think that PETA, I get you, but leave people alone too.
Yeah.
People have rights as well. Yeah.
PETA is, you know what, they're barking up the wrong tree.
Right.
Say in the old days. You know, you might need to bark up a tree, but you're barking up the wrong tree.
All right.
You know, yeah.
Right. Of course it's great to adopt you know, pets from the shelter. I 100% support that.
I've done all of them.
But don't bother somebody because they did something a little different. Leave them alone.
There you go. Okay. Come on, Peter.
So
I'm loving them for having a dog. You know,
this is a serious headline. But we're gonna try to have fun with it as much as we can. So the abortion rights bill backed by the Democrats failed in the Senate. It was backed by all Democrats except one by the name of Mr. Joe Manchin.
Oh, God.
Would you pay full price matinee or ask for a refund to watch a reality show starring Joe Manchin sailing full time around in his almost heaven boat if it meant he would retire from the Senate?
If it meant he would retire from the Senate and then we hopefully could put another Democrat in that spot.
A real Democrat
in that spot. Right. I'll pay full price for that to get the fuck rid of Joe. Oh, I'm sorry. can I say that?
You can say it.
Okay, to get Joe Manchin's ass out of there, I will pay full price.
That F
was for full price.
Yes. Okay. I would pay full price for that too. I mean, stop pretending that you're a Democrat, Joe Manchin. Stop. Just
that's ridiculous.
Stop it, please.
It's insulting. I know Joe Biden wants to just go punch him in the effing face. I know.
Oh, you can't say that F, right?
Right.
Send it already. Okay. All right, bye. So we have four this week. So number three is, so Rebel Wilson, you know the actress Rebel Wilson, right, Mom?
Yes.
Pitch Perfect.
Actor, yes.
Okay, and so she's been in many films. So she revealed in 2019, she went on over 50 dates in that year. She ranged from going out with billionaires to people who didn't really have it together. So she was searching for clarity on dating. You know, she was 39 at the time, and she hadn't been in a lot of serious relationships and hadn't had the luck that, you know, she felt she should at that point in her life. She's in a relationship now. She's, you know, healthy, good relationship. So Mom, would you pay full price, matinee, or refund to see her in a reality show going on all these 50 plus dates?
Well, I probably would only pay, I'm between matinee and refund.
Why?
I'm vacillating between the two. What interest do I have in her going on dates?
Well, you watch all these shows like that.
Well, I do watch those shows, but I mean, there's usually a payoff. They're not just going on dates. There's some sort of set condition. It's not like you just go on date, you just date. They have some sort of little hook. And the hook is you have to pick somebody to marry, or you have to pick somebody that you really like to be engaged to, or walk off in the sun. You know, there's a hook. You're not just randomly going on dates and dating at the end. You say, okay, I have 50 dates. The shows I watch, at the end you say, I chose this one. Listen, I narrowed it down from the 50 to 4 or 3 or 5 or whatever. I mean, it needs a little bit more structure to really gain my interest. Other than that, you're just the average woman going on dates. Mm-hmm. You understand? If there isn't some sort of in there, you got me?
For me, I would
elevate my interest.
I would pay matinee. I'm between matinee and full price. I'm going to say matinee with Rebel Wilson.
I'm between matinee and refund.
Because she's funny, and I think that she would have a lot of fun with that.
I'm not connecting it to her just going on fun dates, because if you're going on 50 dates, it's going to be some funny shit in there anyway.
Yeah, but I think it'll be...
You don't even have to be funny, because if you're going on 50 dates, you're going to meet some of all type of characters, and some of them going to be funny.
Right. That's why I think it'll be entertaining, and I enjoy it. I think I would enjoy it.
Not enough to get my interest. She's between matinee for me and refund.
Well, matinee and full price for me.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so let's move on to this, and I think I know the answer to this one. Will Smith is set to be guest on the forthcoming season of My Next Guest Needs No Introduction with David Letterman. Refund, matinee, or full price?
I'm paying full price.
Okay.
I'm paying full price. Why? I want to see and hear... Well, hear, not see. Well, I want to see Will's face and body too, as he's talking. I want to hear his feelings. I want to hear his commentary. I want to hear. I don't even want to predict anything, but I want to see. I'm interested enough to see and hear and oh God, just to see what level of healing or lack thereof Will
has experienced. It's been a relatively short time since that whole disastrous event at the Oscars. I want to see where Will has landed. Has he learned anything? Is he remorseful? Has he done any introspection?
Maybe.
You got me? I want to know what is going on with Will.
Maybe he doesn't want you to know, Mom.
Well, maybe he doesn't, but guess what? I'm paying full price to find out.
I'm going with you with full price.
I'm interested enough to go full price.
I'm going with you with full price because I want to see, I want to hear what Will has to say, you know, and see if there's any difference between his acceptance speech and the man we see whenever the interview airs.
Absolutely.
And I like David Letterman. I think David Letterman is a good person to do it because David Letterman admitted
is
to his
dead
stuff.
On because Dave Letterman is not giving a damn about political correctness and tiptoeing around. David Letterman is going in. David Letterman is going to ask him straight up. You know, it's that Midwestern thing with David Letterman that's in him, and he's going in.
Yeah.
And it's not even none. It's just like, what's up?
And David Letterman is, even though Will is not a young man anymore, David Letterman is old enough to be his dad. So absolutely. At least it'll be that respect David level.
David Letterman is going in. And also with the thing of when David Letterman was caught up with his sexual crap and doing whatever foolishness he was doing over there. David Letterman said, yeah, I did it. Well, damn, what you want? I just messed it up. I did it.
He did it. He said it. We thought he was joking when he said it at first.
He didn't say the man in the moon did it. The neighbor did it. Oh, it wasn't me. You know, he said, look.
He said, I did it. And he's like, I'm not going to be blackmailed. I did it.
He said, yeah. He said, no, ain't nobody coming for me thinking I'm trying to cover nothing because I did it. So you're okay. You can only kill me once. I did it.
So let's move on to what we talked about before. And I'm going to need clarity on one of the couples is Married at First Sight.
So we
just saw the results episode. And right. So I'm thankful.
I call BS.
Thank you. Let's
whole fiasco.
Let's go through the couples now.
All right.
So Lindsay and Mark, I said that yes, they would say they would stay together on the results day, and no, when is it? The reunion, they would say no. You said no.
I said flat out no.
What are your thoughts on that?
Here's my thoughts. My thoughts are this. Taking them as they represented themselves for 6 to 7 of the 8 weeks, they were bitching and moaning, fussing and fighting, humiliating each other, complaining about each other, some minor shows of affection, and I mean minor, overall, not getting along, combative, and just a mess, okay? No signs of them connecting. And in particular, that concerned me, why I thought they wouldn't get along, is because she's constantly humiliating him. They are of the same culture, the same ethnicity, the same everything. And the reason I mention that is because there's less chance of a miscommunication. Okay? They're both American. They're both the same culture. They're both everything. Their communication, They should understand each other. There's not a lot of room in there where you can say, well, I understand this. I understand that. I understand the other. No, they may have had poor communication, you know, but to me, they should have understood each other. And that they didn't understand each other simply meant they were incompatible and didn't really like each other that much. You got me?
Yes.
And for me, I say, Lindsay was always on him like he's not man enough for her. He only makes 60. He only this, he only that, he only everything. To me, she rejected him on some kind of level that it does not bode well for a long-term romance, long-term relationship. So, okay. All right.
I agree with you, Ma. Lindsay and Mark, even though I say yes, I don't think that they would survive to the results episode. I think that Lindsay is way too over the top. Mark is not perfect. Mark is really immature.
No.
But Lindsay is just completely on another level. So we'll see.
To me, they're totally incompatible. I said no, and I don't care whatever they said. I stand by my no.
I feel you. I feel you on that. The other couple, let's go in with Olajuwon and Katina. I said yes for the episode, for the results, and I said no by the time we see the reunion, and you said no. I hoped that it would be a no completely because I didn't think that Olajuwon respected Katina. I don't like how he talks to her, and I think that she's too submissive and, you know, she's too docile, and that's not... That's not what he needs. He doesn't need a woman that he can just walk all over.
And that's not what she needs.
Right.
Right. I'm with you 1,000%. I co-signed on everything you said. I felt like he was really just a very insensitive with his comments and so forth. And I didn't like the way he communicated whatever, you know, his feelings were toward Katina. I did not think that he communicated well. I thought he was very insensitive and to the point of being really cruel and verbally abusive at times. Okay. I thought he was able to get away with that because Katina, a lot of us, I know it sounds like corny and old fashioned, but I think Katina is kind of that sweetie pie. I think she's that really, really sweetie pie because she met her best friend at church and that would turn out to be her maid of honor or something in the wedding or what, you know. And I think Katina or turn out to be her best friend either way, whatever.
Right.
Katina is that person. And I think she's from a loving and caring family. And I think she was embraced that way within her family. She didn't, you know. And I think that they're mismatched. And if it isn't a no, it should be a no. The only thing I saw in Olajuwon was him saying that how he appreciated how much she tried and cared and he loved her for that. And he wanted to stay married. And that I thought was so wonderful. Only I want to know what the payoff is for Katina. I'm hearing what you're getting from her, but I'm not quite sure what she's getting from you. One other thing I heard from Olajuwon was he uses the term, okay, I'm finishing up, wrapping up, daughter. You know what he says? One thing that I think it sounds like he's prideful, sounds like he has pride in his wife. He says, my wife, my wife, my wife. He always referred to Katina as my wife.
I don't put much stock into that.
I don't know what that is.
That my wife. That a lot of people say my wife, my husband.
That might be nothing. That might be nothing, you know. But I see a bigger.
Well, Mike, you know, you've been married a few times. You know that you know that when you talk about, you don't say my husband, you just call him by their first name.
Right, because that's how I felt about him.
Okay. All right, I'll leave that alone.
But wait a minute.
Because to me, my wife.
But sweetie, but dear daughter, there's a certain way you can feel about a man. There's a time and a way you can feel about a man when you just referring to him as my husband, my husband, my husband.
Well, but see, I don't look at things like that.
To a man as my husband, my husband. I mean, he really has to be my husband in the first place. But if I'm referring to him as my husband, as opposed to his name, that's another level of affection.
No, well, I don't agree with that. I think that your husband, you know, you have obviously a certain level of affection and respect for them, but I think that if you keep saying
I don't even agree with that.
If I'm talking to my friends or talking to people that know, oh, I'm married, oh, my husband, to me it just sounds silly. You're on a show. We know it's your husband. You know it's your wife. I don't know.
Okay, daughter.
Thanks, Ma. Thank you. Daughter. Okay, I'll leave that alone. All right. And when you say daughter, that means for me to be quiet. So that's what that means.
No, it doesn't. Okay. When I say daughter, it means I refer to you. Often I don't call you Paige. You often I call you daughter. Okay, daughter. That's a level of affection. And you could be another kind of daughter when your name is Pace You all the time. Yeah, okay, Pace You. But there's another level.
Now I'm concerned.
Oh, yes.
Because the people I know, okay. All right.
For me, that is how I feel.
Okay. All right. Well, how about Stephen Noy? So Stephen Noy, I said yes to them. And then I said maybe that they would be together at the reunion. I don't know what you said, Ma. I have question marks.
I said no for everybody.
Okay.
I said no for everybody.
You said no for everybody. I was going to say with Stephen Noy, in the beginning, I saw more hope and I saw more Noy being more, you know, doe-eyed.
And love just, in 3 days.
Yeah. Ooh, and then as the story progressed, I don't want to move in with him. And it just seemed like it changed. But then during the results episode, what happened with all of them? I don't get it.
They all flipped the script.
Yeah.
Okay. On decision day, they all flipped the script. You saw them for 6 to 8 weeks or whatever it is, bitching and moaning and complaining, mm-hmm. or either both of them about one, but about the other, or just one of them, or both of them, or whatever. You saw it throughout the entire, from at least 6 to 7 of the 8 weeks, okay? You saw them complaining. Olajuwon, this woman is, Katina's not up to his standard. She can't cook. She doesn't have the basic skills that a wife's supposed to have. And she's the type of woman for me? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to have to think about this. Okay, Lindsay, this man only makes $60,000 a year. He's a dud. Or going on, sleep on with your mother with the bed bugs and all this. Stephen Noy, you unemployed. I can't deal with you. You don't offer any stability. I did love you the first 3 days. And after that, I found out you still wasn't going to get no job. I don't care for you. Okay. Jasmina, you are right. You a good guy and everything, but I just don't feel nothing for you. You can't even kiss me. You can't even touch me.
So I guess we moved on to Jasmina and Michael.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, Jasmina and Michael.
One by one, I'm knocking them all out, letting you know how I see them all. And I see their answers and responses on the decision day as fake.
Jasmine and Michael, I said no for everything. And then we see what happened. They said yes, but they also said they weren't moving in together.
Right. So this is where Jasmina says she's going to go over by her house and stay for a while, but she's giving it a shot. Right. You couldn't get close to him and get physically attracted to him when you lived with him and slept in the bed with
him. They never kissed.
But you're going to move out.
Except and maybe the wedding day.
You're going to get close to him. That's crazy. This is what I'm saying. This is where the BS comes in. I call BS either they edited the shows to, you know, give us a false impression, mm-hmm. or they edited decision day to give us a false impression. Either way.
Something is wrong.
One and one is always two. And mm-hmm. with these people, one and one is equal in 50.
And none of them seem really compatible with each other. And I think that's the problem.
And yet they're all saying yes.
We want people to be happy.
Even the one who never kissed each other, and which is Jasmina and Michael, and you going over to live in your house and you still said yes.
That doesn't make sense.
You're doing no, but you're saying yes.
Yeah,
that's a bunch of. That's why.
We're all the suckers because we continue to watch Married at First Sight because they know what they're doing. They know they got a lot of backlash from last season when nobody eventually wound up staying with each other, and so now everyone except for Alyssa and Chris, because Chris was just like, "Look, I can't deal with this lady," which I don't blame her.
She was treating him. Outrageously. That was ridiculous. Come on. Any self-respecting person would have pulled out of that BS relationship. Non-relationship, I should say.
We'll give our recap after the reunion, because there's a reunion. Well, actually, there's two parts to the reunion. So we'll give our recap
after part two.
After part two,
right.
All right, Mom.
When the dust settles, we'll see how this all works out. Because, you know, because what went down with the decision day, I'm not buying it. I call BS.
Three things that made you smile, Mom.
You know what makes me smile? Every day that I can see the sun, stars, and the moon. Give me one of the three, I am good.
Okay. Number one for me is Jesse Williams. Well, him getting the nomination for Best Actor. That's why. That's the only reason why. And number two, Spain is the first country to allow a 3-day menstrual leave every month for women. Now,
that is so cute.
I think that's awesome. And I think they should. Number three, I want to give a congratulations to LeBron, to Steph, to KD, to Giannis for making it as being the top 10 highest paid athletes in the world.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, guys. Shout out to all y'all for doing us proud and for getting paid along with it. Wonderful.
That's right. Wonderful. All right. So, Ma, is there anything that you want to say to close out the episode?
You know, guys, what I always say, health, wealth, and happiness, long life and prosperity, until we meet again.
All right. So thanks for listening to the Bambushi Happy Hour. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Bambushi Happy Hour, and also at All Things Paige You. And guys, don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube at All Things Paige You, the home of the Bambushi Happy Hour. Bye, guys.
Bye.